This presentation is by Yun Zhang, and Henry Lin will present for him. I guess he didn't make the trip.
Thanks, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone. My student Yun Zhang could not make it, so I was asked to deliver the message on his behalf. When he gave me the slide, says, shouldn't you do the opposite? Yet you deliver my talk instead of I deliver your talk. Anyway, he couldn't make it, so I had to do that job for him. He's part of PhD research, and it's one segment of his work in our Shear Hills catchment. This particular talk focuses on the lateral subsurface flow. It's kind of not common in terms of our soil physics traditional way of thinking vertical flow. So this is a hill slope scale hydrological process, and it's driven by a mixture of factors in terms of how soils distribute across the landscape, the terrain, and the rainfall inputs. So anyway, the concept of subsurface lateral flow is basically infiltrated water moving laterally in the upper part of the vital zone above the main groundwater table. This is the concept we are addressing here. So the question we try to address in this particular study is, when that thing will occur, how did that subsurface lateral flow will occur, where it's occurring, and what is the possible connectivity among different portions of landscape that gives the hydrological connectivity from the hilltop to the valley floor. So here is our 8-hectare forest catchment called Shear Hills Critical Zone Observatory, and it's a nice V-shaped catchment. We have mapped out the detailed soil distribution along with all the trees and many other stuff, because it's integrated study sites, a lot of things going on. But I strip everything off except showing you the terrain and the general soil pattern. And this particular talk focusing on this swell, just one segment of the hill slope, showing you some monitoring locations that we have in terms of real-time soil moisture dynamics every 10 minutes from the ridge top down to the very floor. All right. Even though we have monitoring covering all catchment, but I don't have time to talk about that part, but just focusing on this particular swell section. Okay. Now, some of those monitoring stations, like 53, 51, we have replicates in terms of array sensors. So we have one array facing upslope, one on the left, one on the right. So you end up with three replicates, and they show you the local variability, which you will see pretty soon. The basic principle we are using here in terms of determining whether subsurface lateral flow occurred or not is very simple, mass balance. So you have how much water gets in, how much gets out, and what's the change, which is no-brainer to everyone in the room. So, but we simplify things here a little bit in order to make sense of real-time soil moisture monitoring. So these are all the loss terms, and so we are focusing, therefore, the actual moisture storage change in a particular horizon or throughout the profile. And whatever loss, we are not determining that quantitatively in this particular presentation. But obviously, it's a function of what gets in from the rain and possibly what's coming from lateral instead of vertical. So in this study, we defined subsurface lateral flow occurrence whenever the storage of soil moisture, either throughout the profile or particular segment of the profile, greater than the total rainfall inputs. In other words, the amount of rain coming from the sky is just not enough to cover the moisture change within either entire profile or segment of it. Therefore, must have additional input to supplement that moisture content change. So that's basically what we are referring to, the subsurface lateral flow. And when a particular horizon, for example, this bottom portion of the profile, the moisture change at a given rainfall event, greater than the total rainfall input, we call that a strong subsurface lateral flow. But when none of the particular profile horizon has that moisture content change greater than precipitation input, but the overall pattern from the surface down to wherever we monitor has that amount change greater than precipitation, we call it weak subsurface lateral flow. It's a type of preferential flow. just to illustrate what we mean by OLED, it's a soil moisture content change responding to this particular rainstorm at different depths from the near surface 13 centimeter all the way down to 2C horizon, which is about 70 centimeter, which is this light blue curve. And you can see that as the rain came, different depth sensor responded to different degrees depending on the soil texture and all that. But look at this guy jumped, and the total amount of that particular horizon of 2C change in terms of moisture storage is 24.4. It's greater than the total rainfall input of 17.4, and the total pore file storage change is 36.5. So in this case, we call it a strong evidence of subsurface lateral flow. In contrast, in this example where you have this smaller storm came, again, different sensors at different depths responded, including the surface one, and then these two BW horizons responded. But each of these two horizons responded in an amount smaller than the total rainfall. But overall pore file, these three horizons added up, the moisture storage change is 18 millimeter compared to the total rainfall of 16.3. So it's a weak subsurface lateral flow evidence. So we analyzed 3 years of data set, but in this 3 years data set, we did filter out to use a subset of total 97 storm events to show the results in the subsequent slides. This is what we use in terms of criteria to filter out the data sets. The storm separation time, 4 hours, and total rainfall amount must be greater than millimeter to in order to see enough evidence. And then we use just March to November data set to avoid a winter frozen condition. And in that period, we divide into wet season, dry season, and in between. And the data must be available, no power loss or data problem for all the monitoring sites from the ridge top to the very floor. So that's the criteria we use, and we end up with 97 total storm events. And this table shows you three time period of seasons of the rainfall distribution. And this column shows you the number of subsurface lateral flow, total of 53. That's basically over half of the storm events you see the subsurface lateral flow occurred in that particular hill slope. Now you also see the strong subsurface lateral flow and the weak one. And you can see that the wet season tends to have more strong subsurface lateral flow, and the dry season tends to have more dry or weak subsurface lateral flow. And if you consider the seasonal change, you see a kind of tendency for the dry season to have more percentage or frequency out of the total aware of rainstorms to show the subsurface lateral flow over the total number of the storm events recorded. There are a lot of variations involved in terms of the landscape understanding. Showing here is the spatial occurrence of the subsurface lateral flow from the ridge top range down to the very floor. The number of that, either strong or weak, and the green one shows the total. And you can see that some sites tend to have kind of, let's see, a small amount overall out of these 97 storm events in terms of subsurface lateral flow occurrence, but other sites tend to have more. So basically, it's a spatial variation we are showing here. But not only spatial variation, also temporal variability in terms of seasonality, that you can see those kind of drier spots tend to have increased frequency of subsurface lateral flow occurring when it goes from the wet to dry season. But for those wetter spots, you just kind of have the opposite, that you have a decreasing percentage of total storms monitored showing a subsurface lateral flow when you go from wet to dry. All right, one last component is the connectivity from the hilltop to the very floor. When this subsurface lateral flow, they must be connected in order to deliver water to the stream. All right, so that's very important in terms of the hillslope hydrology and catchment hydrology in terms of stream discharge. How do we connect that to the soil moisture dynamics? So I'm illustrating two scenarios. This scenario is non-connected or disconnected from the ridge top to the very floor. This site is a very floor site, showing this particular storm event where you have only 5.5 millimeter of rainfall. But in this near the top, this particular horizon has 15.8 millimeter of storage change. In the middle profile, hill slope is 8.4, and down below is almost none, just flat almost. So you have subsurface rainfall occurring in the upper part of hill slope and middle part, but not the lower part. So it's not continuous from the top all the way down to the bottom. So we call it disconnected. But in this case, it's hydrologically connected from the top to the bottom with this much higher rainstorm, 30.7, where you see that the top showing 101.5 millimeter, mixed slope 43.5, and down below in the very floor still show 31.4 millimeter of storage change. And even that particular site has the moisture change greater than the total rainfall input. So lots of water flushing down the hill slope going towards the very floor. So it's a well-connected network at this time. So over the 97 total storm events that we analyze here, we divide into wet season and dry season and the transitional season, and showing you basically all the connected events that occurred, so just to see what's causing that hydrologically connected flow pathways throughout the hill slope. And so we look at the rainfall features and the initial soil moisture condition at each of the monitored sites. And without getting into a lot of details, just to point out the wet period and the transitional period tend to have more connected events. Somehow this one single dry rainstorm event during the dry season had a connected event, and we're still trying to figure out exactly what's causing that. But overall, the wet season tend to have the connected the flow from the ridge top to the very floor when the storm is compared to the dry condition, for example, much smaller duration and lower intensity. For this particular dry season connected hydrological event, you have much longer duration and much higher rainstorm intensity. So there are a lot of stuff that could be looked into in this kind of summarized table, but in the interest of time, I will not get further into the details. To summarize what this particular piece of work has tried to share with you is the connectivity or the network type of flow in the subsurface of the hill slope in our forested catchments, showing you in the cartoon, ridge top to the very four different soil types and different layers with each of the soil profile, and the importance of the interfaces between different soil horizons as well as the soil and the underlying bedrock interface. All right, we identify through this particular analysis the three lateral flow pathways. One is this pink one, basically is a lateral flow through the BWC interface, and then this the lower portion of the hill slope shows up at the BTNC horizon interface. And throughout the hill slope, we have this fractured rock underneath that also provides a very common subsurface flow pathways for the water to go through downhill slope towards the stream, which is nearby here. So with that, there are three messages here that this particular talk has tried to share. One is subsurface lateral flow is quite common in this particular landscape, but it's not uniform. It has a lot of spatial and temporal variation involved. And in terms of frequency, not the total number, but just out of the total rainstorm that caused the subsurface lateral flow, the percentage of rainstorm end up having this subsurface lateral flow phenomena tend to be higher in a dry season, but they only locally connected, not necessarily delivering water all the way from the top to the very floor. All right? And when we have this connected hydrological flow pathways, we basically seen the layers linking the different locations with different layers that tend to be moving downhill, so preferentially that cause the hydrologically connected flow pathways. With that, thanks for your attention. If you have time, I'll be happy to answer questions you might have. Yes, Tim.
Yeah, thank you, Henry. Nice talk. I'm curious about the connectivity issue. When you look at a flow path from surface DEM, are you following a surface flow path that is not connected in the subsurface?
Believe it or not, in the steep slope up to 50% slope in many places, we don't actually see much overland flow or the surface runoff.
Sure.
All the flow occurred in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All the flow occurred in the subsurface. Now, that brings up the DEM, which is the surface topography, that gives some suggestions about the possible different soil types distributed. But really, it's the subsurface DEM, or the, let's say, bedrock topography, or the soil horizon interfaces type of topography that's driving this kind of subsurface lateral flow.
So you have GPR data?
Yeah, we have lots of GPR. Would you say that again, your
so
particular...
the subsurface topography would indicate it's connected, but you're not seeing it in the moisture?
Oh, I would think so, because our monitoring sites are point-based observations, right? So we, our GPR, or even though we do the grid, repeated GPR scans of selected locations, we are not covering everywhere. And so we do have occasions where you... The network of flow underneath the surface is such that you could miss some of those. Yeah. Well, assuming what we select in terms of monitor location, the scan sites are representative, but it can't be certain 100%.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.